It is First Take, Your Take on ESPN Radio, ESPN News. I'm Jeff Dickerson in today for my good friend Jason Fitz. So much to get to regarding the Washington football team retiring their nickname and their logo today. We'll get to that in just a moment, but right now it's time for some headlines that you need to know. And big news coming out of the NBA, Russell Westbrook has just announced that he has tested positive for COVID-19 prior to leaving for Orlando. Westbrook is currently quarantined, says he is looking forward to rejoining his teammates. The Redskins did announce today they will be retiring their nickname and their logo after completing a thorough review that began on July 3rd. The team says in a statement, quote, "Today we are announcing we will be retiring the Redskins name and logo upon completion of this review." Lakers guard Rajon Rondo suffered a broken right thumb in practice Sunday night in Orlando. He is expected to return to full basketball activities in 6 to 8 weeks. And bad news out of the Patriot League, they have announced today they will be canceling all their fall sports. Remember last week, the Ivy League said they're canceling all fall sports for this year. Headlines brought to you by Straight Talk. Straight Talk Wireless doesn't play games. Get the unlimited plan with 25 gigs of high-speed data, then 2G for just $45 a month, saving you up to 50% against the big carriers. No contracts, no compromise. Savings may vary. See terms and conditions at straighttalk.com. It is First Take, Your Take. I'm Jeff Dickerson, in for Jason Fitz on ESPN Radio and ESPN News. We are presented by Progressive Insurance. I guess you could say better late than never, because people have for a long time been calling for the Washington Redskins to drop the nickname and the logo of the Redskins, citing its obvious offensive origins. Daniel Snyder, their owner, for a long time, again, has been resistant. He was saying it was never going to happen. They were never going to change that nickname, but today they announced it officially, saying more in a statement, quote, "Dan Snyder and coach Ron Rivera are working closely to develop a new name and design approach that will enhance the standing of our proud tradition-rich franchise, inspire our sponsors, fans, and community for the next 100 years. Of course, what's happened recently in this country prompted the Redskins to have this internal review. If that doesn't happen, it's very unlikely that Daniel Snyder, who said on the record he would never change their nickname, never. He said, you can put this in all caps, I'll never do it. If he's not feeling the pressure from the sponsors, from the fans, from the community, it's highly unlikely that this day comes. But it does happen. The Redskins' name is retired. They have not announced their new name yet. And, of course, this was a major topic this morning on First Take. And, by the way, you can have our call to action. You can tweet me at @DickersonESPN. What should Washington's new team name be? Give me your best suggestion. @DickersonESPN. Would it be the Red Hawks, the Red Tails, the Hogs? What would be special for Washington fans? A name that maybe that team can consider to replace the Redskins. @DickersonESPN. We'll take some calls on this later. 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. Of course, this was the top story this morning on First Take. And Stephen A. believes the financial pressure is the only reason why Daniel Snyder agreed to change the name.
I think the significance of it is the foundation is no longer racist. Like, it's simple. The name was racist. It dehumanized a segment of people that was here on this continent before anybody else got here, who deserves that type of respect. And I just want to share a little something. I had a call with Max last week about the Jewish community, asking him questions to become educated, to understand what the situation was with DeSean Jackson and everything that was going on. Simplicity is a beautiful thing. And it was simple that the name of the team in Washington was racist. It is simple as that. And look, I could go into a long soliloquy about all of the things that have transpired since the time I played, having these discussions, understanding that this name was abhorrent to people of the Native American community. I played for the Cowboys in that division, in the NFC East. These are not new conversations. I want everybody to understand that. Financial pressure is the exact reason Dan Snyder decided to change the name of this team and the organization, period. We can talk about all of the social conscious things, what's going on, the pandemic giving people the opportunity to pay attention. You don't need incentive. You shouldn't need incentive to change something that is outwardly racist to a group of people, and it dehumanizes them and gives them memories of times where their whole culture was disbanded. So that is it for me, bottom line, foundationally. The significance of the team in Washington changing their name is great because it was racist, period.
Well, the significance to me is applicable to that old adage that we've all leaned on for many, many years, is that money talks and BS walks, and that's really what this comes down to. The reality of the situation is that if Daniel Snyder's bottom line wasn't being affected because you had shareholders and supporters generating in excess of $620 billion, you know, reaching out to PepsiCo and FedEx and Nike, if they hadn't done so, thereby threatening to drastically and emphatically affect his bottom line, there would be no change. The Redskins would still be called the Washington Redskins, and that's what we'd be sitting here looking forward to calling them in the 2020 season. Daniel Snyder did not change this name out of the goodness of his heart. He changed the name because financial pressure was brought to bear, and obviously we've learned that. We knew that decades ago, if not centuries ago, that the bottom line is that when your bottom line is going to be effective, that will provoke you to change. It's as simple and plain as that. And that's why it leaves me sitting here on this particular day, everybody, Molly, Max, Swagoo. It leaves me sitting here a bit jealous and envious to some degree. Not that we've ever had any reason to feel that way about the Native American community, the way that they have been treated in this nation's history. It's an absolute abomination how they have been treated. Make no mistake about it. But the flip side to it is that after 87 years, this name is going to get changed. Symbolic gestures, there is something to be said for that. But when it's limited to just that, it's a problem. This is not a symbolic change when it comes to the Redskins' name being omitted from the Washington franchise. This is more than that to the Native American community, and it should be perceived as more than that. But the reason why I use the word envious is because I'm sitting here, I'm watching NBA players fighting over what they should put on the back of their jerseys. I'm watching folks protesting in the streets and painting stuff like Black Lives Matter on Fifth Avenue or in the nation's capital against symbolic gestures. But am I seeing federal legislation to address police brutality against unarmed Black men? No. Am I seeing businesses being addressed and confronted by the African American community in concert with white power brokers to address the fact that their products have been patronized? What have they done to reciprocate the level of support that they've received from the African American community? Am I seeing that take place? Am I seeing that transpire? Absolutely not. There is an anti-lynching law or anti-lynching bill, I apologize, that has been put on Capitol Hill. It's called the Emmett Till Anti-Lynching Bill. It still has not been passed in the year 2020. So I'm seeing something like this transpire, and I'm saying in this nation's history, we even have the Native American community ultimately through the support of others getting things done. But we're watching a nation of African Americans in this country, you know, essentially give a lot of lip service, and we're giving a lot of symbolic gestures to stuff. But in terms of what we're really getting done to really move the needle, to really make things happen, what are we really doing? Close to nothing. And so as a result of that, I sit here this morning, guys, and again, I'm appreciative of what's transpired. Mm-hmm. I was on Get Up this morning. I gave Max major props because Max has been beating this drum forever, and he was right to do so, and it's appropriate that Max, even on vacation, started today's show because he has been dogged about the Redskins' name, how it needed to be eradicated. He was absolutely right. We always knew it, but Max deserves a boatload of credit for that, which is why it's great that he started off the show this morning. But as a Black man, to see what just happened for the Native American community and to see what still is not happening for our community, yep, along with the lack of provocation that we have enforced in that regard, I'm sorry. I'm a bit envious and sad that something of this significance can't happen for us.
Stephen A. and Marcus Spears this morning on First Take. It's First Take, your take on ESPN Radio, ESPN News. I'm Jeff Dickerson. In for Jason Fitz and ESPN Radio is presented by Progressive Insurance. Drivers who save with Progressive save over $750 on average. Call or click today and find out if we could save you hundreds on your car insurance. It is our pleasure to go out to the Shell Pennzoil Performance Line. Welcome in Washington Post columnist Kevin Blackstone with us here on First Take, Your Take on ESPN Radio and ESPN News. Kevin, thank you so much for giving us some time, and I know it's a very busy day for you. You know, just knowing Daniel Snyder's stance on this subject throughout the years, he has not been bashful about saying he would never change the nickname, never retire the logo. Are you surprised that this day finally came?
No, I'm not, because Native Americans have been fighting this issue for the better part of 50 years. They slowly but surely gathered momentum and gathered allies. And in the tidal wave against racial injustice in this country, after the murder of George Floyd and the uprising of Black Lives Matter, which crashed into Confederate monuments, eventually into Christopher Columbus, and white supremacists in between, like George Preston Marshall, who founded this team, who drenched it in white supremacy and selling it to the South as the NFL's only Southern team, who kept it all white until threatened to integrate it at the point of bayonet by the federal government. Mm-hmm. You know, I'm not surprised. There always has to be a shift in the culture before there's a shift in rules, regulation, law, and that's what's happened here.
So, Kevin, how should people greet this news with the happiness that obviously this offensive nickname is going to be retired here? Or I've heard some say that, hey, you know, Daniel Snyder is just being disingenuous. The only reason he's doing this is because he was feeling pressure from his corporate sponsors. So how should people look at this as to the reason why the change was finally enacted, long overdue?
Sure, there's nothing altruistic about it at all. He is doing this because he's pressured. If I'm not mistaken, I've yet to hear or read an apology from the team. They were so bold today as to issue this statement on their own letterhead with the offensive nickname, mm-hmm. Glaring at anyone who looked at it. And so, you know, this struggle is not over. This is a huge step, getting rid of this nickname. But given the nicknames that I've heard, we've all heard, that are on the table for consideration, given the fact there hasn't been an apology, given the fact that the Washington Post reported that Native folks have not been consulted, means to me that, you know, in Ibram Kendi's words, you know, you may be, but what this looks like is a racist solution to a racist problem. And so it'll probably need to be a lot more education, a lot more wrestling with this franchise and the NFL over whatever it is to come.
Kevin Blackstone from the Washington Post is with us on First Take, Your Take. It's ESPN Radio, ESPN News. Jason Fitz is off today. I'm Jeff Dickerson sitting in. Kevin, I've known Ron Rivera for a while. I covered him in Chicago for many years, mm-hmm. when he was the coordinator with the Bears. And I think very highly of Ron. I don't know, you know, personally what role maybe Ron played in all of this, but do you think that hiring him as the head coach at least improved some channels of dialogue where perhaps ownership would maybe listen a little more because Ron is the head coach?
I don't think so. I mean, this franchise, this owner has a history of hiring and firing people who will carry his water. And on this issue in particular, you know, just a few days ago, or maybe a week ago or so now, Ron Rivera was asked about the issue, and he said he's of another generation. It's something that needs to be considered at another time. And then all of a sudden, the corporate domino started to fall, and he overnight changed his tune. So, you know, I don't know Ron Rivera. Mm-hmm. I only know what I've seen of him since he's arrived, what I've read. He may be a decent fellow, but unless and until I see differently, I do not believe that he's going to be the he's going to be the difference in terms of coaches that we've seen before.
What are some of the team names that, you've heard suggested that makes sense to you? And are there any ones in particular that you like?
I haven't heard any that make sense to me. It seems to me that the franchise is trying desperately to hold on to whatever imagery it can from the 87-year-old nickname. They're holding on to the colors. They at one time had applied for a trademark for Warriors, which again harkens to Native imagery, as well as to war. And since then, we've heard that they're wrestling with Arkansas State over the trademark to Red Wolves. Arkansas State is the Red Wolves. Once again, retaining the R, retaining the colors, trying to hold on to their fan happy hashtag of HTTR, which stood for Hail to the former name.
Right.
And then the other one is Red Tails, which seems to be a bone thrown to black fans of the team who know that Red Tails is the nickname of the Tuskegee Airmen. But once again, you have red in the title, just like with Red Wolves. They cannot make a clean break, and that would also allow them to keep their HTTR hashtag. And I would also add, would also be in line with the NFL's love to wrap itself in military imagery with a national anthem that relates to war, with the presentation of the colors, which relates to the military, with the flyovers that they do. That we know John McCain and Jeff Flake, when they were in the Senate, lashed out against as paid patriotism. So I really don't like any of the offerings up there so far. And the fact that, as I said, that Native Americans are not being consulted is really problematic.
Talk with Kevin Blackstone. It's First Take, Your Take. Jeff Dickerson in for Jason Fitz on ESPN Radio and ESPN News. Kevin, I was at FedEx Field covering a game last year for the first time in like 5 years. And I got to tell you, I forgot how horrible of an experience it is. I mean, there was nothing redeemable about that stadium, about that, just the ambiance. It was just very corporate. The stadium was half full. The team wasn't very good. It's just, in general, how badly does that franchise just need a complete reboot?
And that's the thing. It needs a redo. You know, I grew up, I'm born and bred in Washington, D.C., in a family that had season tickets. I started going to games sitting on my parents' lap. You know, it was the ticket to have in Washington, D.C. And the move to FedEx and the new ownership and the lack of success on the field, and then the arrogance and obstinance over the nickname, just became too much for someone like me to bear. And as you said, I mean, it became arguably the worst fan experience in the NFL. I haven't been to every stadium, but I've been to quite a few over my time. And it's horrific for a whole lot of reasons. And so, yeah, you would think that, you know what, it would be time to just clean the slate and start anew. And that's what this opportunity is. And this opportunity has been there for quite some time. So, you know, why not do that? And the problem is because the person who's running the team doesn't see it that way.
Kevin, thank you so much for your time on this busy day. Truly appreciate it, and keep up the great work, okay?
No problem. Peace.
Kevin Blackstone, Washington Post columnist, also Around the Horn panelist with us here on ESPN Radio and ESPN News. And don't forget, tweet me, at DickersonESPN, your thoughts on the Washington name change. What should the Washington's new team name be? Red Wolves, Red Hawks, Red Tails, the Hogs. What do you like? At Dickerson ESPN, give us a call. 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. Coming up, can the NFL engineer a safer way to play football in the fall? We'll ask one of the best in the biz next. But first, it's time for some straight talk. You know what covering your bases in baseball is, right? Making sure you have no holes in your defense. Well, that kind of coverage That's the kind of coverage you get with Straight Talk Wireless, and you'll pay up to 50% less than big carriers and still use their same networks. Just $45 a month gets you the unlimited plan with 25 gigs of high-speed data, then 2G, no contract, no mystery fees, fully covering your bases for 50% less. Straight Talk Wireless only at Walmart. Savings may vary. See terms and conditions at straighttalk.com. More First Take, Your Take coming up next. It's ESPN Radio and on ESPN News. Welcome back. First Take, Your Take, ESPN Radio, ESPN News. I'm Jeff Dickerson in for Jason Fitz today. We are presented by Progressive Insurance. Of course, the top story, the Washington football team has announced today they will be retiring their nickname and logo after completing a thorough review that began on July 3rd. Of course, you know, people have been calling for Washington to change their nickname for many, many years, but up until recently, they did not take it very seriously. Now they have. So that's just one of the many NFL stories we want to tackle with our good friend Marcus Spears, ESPN football analyst, host of First Take, host of Get Up. He joins us on the Shell Pennzoil Performance Line. Marcus, thank you so much for giving us time. I know you're very busy today with all the shows you're doing. Your initial reaction to hearing today that Washington was retiring the logo, were you pleased to hear that?
Yes, I was. I was pleased to hear it, and thanks for having me on today. I think the most important thing for me was it's about time. That was my reaction because obviously playing with the Cowboys and playing in the NFC East, I've been privy to these conversations that's been going on for a long time around the name of the team in Washington. And I think the most important thing, like I pointed out this morning, it degraded a culture and a segment of people, so it shouldn't have been this difficult to understand. But the fact that, you know, this is about a mix of that but business for the majority, because the business side got the name change. FedEx, PepsiCo, Nike, really pushing an initiative and an effort to make sure that this change took place. Dan Snyder is on record saying this would never change. But never is a difficult word when it comes to business, and especially when social mixes with business and it takes hold and takes precedence. And he's in the business of making money. And when you're talking about taking money away from that model, a change is inevitable. So Daniel Snyder is not dumb. He understood what was going to take place if he kept trying to fight this battle that should have been dead a long time ago. So my first initial reaction was it's about time.
Yeah, I'm with you. It's not like Daniel Snyder woke up in July and said had some sort of epiphany, Marcus. Like, hey, you know what?
Right.
I have to be more thoughtful. I have to be more mindful of other people. Yeah. This was a business decision. Of course, is it a decision that can help this franchise? I mean, Marcus, this is a franchise that really for many years has not been run very well. It's not a great fan experience out there at the stadium. It seems like, you know, head coaches come and go every couple of years. Could maybe this lead to more meaningful changes in terms of just how the football operation itself is run in Washington?
Possibly. I know from a public perception, it may change in a positive light eventually. Ron Rivera has a lot to do with that, who, by the way, is a minority head coach. And I'm sure he can relate and understand what's transpiring there right now. You hope it has a positive impact. But, you know, when it comes to the field and whether that translates, I'm not sure. This is one of those situations where possibly leadership shows itself kind of a downhill role as positivity and a team responds and reacts and everybody feels not only more inclusive, but not have to deal with that part of it anymore. So hopefully that's a step in the right direction as far as the success of the franchise. I know historically the battles with Washington and the Dallas Cowboys were monumental. I played in them for 8 years. There's a lot of respect, a lot of tradition, a lot of history there with the teams as far as football goes. And it may trickle down. I'm just not sure how much of an impact it will have as far as them being better on the field.
Marcus Spears is our guest on First Take, Your Take. Jeff Dickerson for Jason Fitz on ESPN Radio and ESPN News. Marcus, they announced today that the mouth shields will be handed out to all 32 teams. Kind of will look like a helmet shield, like the visor, but it'll be a clear shield to protect the mouth area. Just something they're trying to see if teams can experiment with to try to find a way to play football in a safe fashion this fall. How do you think that would go over, having something protective over the bottom of your face mask? When you were a player, would you have been able to do that?
It depends. I know I didn't like playing in a face mask. I mean, I didn't like having anything impede upon that because, you know, sweat and then you get fog and you got all of this stuff going on. So it'll be a transition for a lot of guys. Some guys, it's just preference. Some guys love having face shields, but the fact that they implement this, and obviously it's a move to try to get this season done and played and all of the safety mechanisms that you're trying to orchestrate, but it will be a huge adjustment. I know to the common person, it doesn't seem like it's a big deal. Put the thing on and just play. But, you know, guys breathing, being impeded. In football, as weird as it sounds, as players, we try to take as much off as possible in order to be comfortable when you're in the field of play. So this may be an added situation, but, you know, you would hope and you would think that most of these guys understand the reasoning and whatever small inconvenience it causes won't be big enough at the sacrifice of not playing the season.
I'm sure Marcus Spears in year one, year two in the NFL is like, training camp's okay. I need training camp. It helps me out. I'm sure Marcus Spears in year like six and seven was like, I don't like training camp. I don't need training camp. Just wondering, Marcus, just from your standpoint, I mean, it's July 13th. We don't have any sort of training camp schedules for any teams yet. We don't know what's going to happen as far as preseason games. What do you think realistically is the time frame that these guys need if the regular season is going to start that second weekend of September?
I think you need about 3 weeks. And to your point, man, I'd have been ecstatic not to have preseason in those particular years. I'm not sure if I would have been ecstatic not to have them when I was a rookie or in my second year. But needed, yeah, absolutely. You know, a three-week period, man, with the communication now that you have, guys work out a lot on their own. I remember training camp used to be for getting in football shape. And I think 3 weeks of football shape, let's make a delineation. Football shape and cardiovascular is different, right? Guys getting in shape from a cardiovascular point of view, you can do that before you even get to training camp. Training camp is the football, the physicality, the bumps and bruises, the kind of callus in your body for what you're about to experience over a 16-17 week period and on into the playoffs. So I think 3 weeks is enough. I remember when we had training camp longer than that, I was like, 3 weeks enough. Hell, by the time you're in the second week of training camp, you feel like that's enough. So I don't think I don't think a lot of these guys will be opposed to having no training camp or a shortened training camp and getting right into the season.
When you talk to guys, I know you're talking to people and everyone's trying to figure out what's going on. I know everything is so fluid now, not just in football, but also in life, Marcus. I mean, things change daily. Is there still a sense of optimism that this is going to happen here in a couple of weeks, that training camps are going to open on time?
There's a sense of optimism, but it is dwindling slowly. And, you know, fortunately, but unfortunately, football players have the sense of Superman. And we can, you know, we'll be fine as we go through this. The main problem with this pandemic is the extended family, the people that are working in these facilities that may be higher at risk than most of these guys. For all intents and purposes, the one thing we do know is that coronavirus doesn't affect young, you know, young guys in shape. Bodies are able to withstand it. Some guys are having it very asymptomatic, don't even know they have it, testing positive with no signs. And we get all of that. But it's the extenuation of what playing football will do when it comes to everybody outside of that. So I think very cautiously optimistic. The news of state spikes and all of the things are not good, not helpful. But with that being said, the NFL has been adamant about putting the season on and putting the protocols in place to get it played. I think at some point, either there's a point of no return, or there's a point where we get to down the road when this just cannot happen. And I'm hoping that it doesn't get to the point where it cannot happen, but we are trending in that direction.
Yeah, no doubt. Marcus, thank you so much for giving me some time, my friend. Enjoy the rest of your day, okay?
All right. Thank you, sir. Appreciate it.
Marcus Spears on the Shell Pennzoil Performance Line. And First Take Your Take is brought to you by My Computer Career, training for a better life. One thing about football, unlike baseball, you cannot play it from a socially safe distance. And that is certainly a concern here is, again, training camps are supposed to open up around the NFL in a couple of weeks, but no signs yet that that's necessarily going to happen. All right, coming up, we want your thoughts on the Washington name change. What should Washington's new team name be? But first, the Home Depot is here to help, and they may have many ways to help. You can download their app or go online to find the essential products and information you need quickly. Order what you need online, and they can have it waiting for you at the store, or they can even deliver over a million items free. They also have thousands of how-to videos for projects and repairs you need to make. The Home Depot is here to help. The Home Depot, how doers get more done. Coming right back, it's First Take Your Take on ESPN Radio and ESPN News. First Take Your Take marches on here on ESPN Radio and ESPN News. I'm Jeff Dickerson in for Jason Fitz. We are presented by Progressive Insurance. We want to hear from you. Want your thoughts on Washington's new name change? Are you against the change? Are you for the change? What should Washington's new team name be? You can tweet me at Dickerson ESPN. Give us a call, 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. Let's try Mobile calling us from North Carolina. Mobile, you're on ESPN Radio and ESPN News. Your thoughts on the name change?
Yes, sir. Good day. Thanks for taking the call. Well, I've been thinking about this for several years, and they first announced it in 2013. I talked to some of my friends in Carolina, and then in 2016, it came back out. And I, in fact, called over to D.C. and, in fact, was able to speak to the marketing manager in person. So I presented him my name, and he basically said, Dan Snyder will never change a name. But the name I came up with is based on the Washington area, obviously, and the name I think would work really well has been proposed, what I've heard. It's called the Washington Maulers, M-A-U-L-E-R-S, a take on the National Mall. I think it would play well in the D.C. area.
Okay. Mobile, that's very good. We'll put that on the list. I've seen a bunch of names also tweeted to me at Dickerson ESPN. You have the Washington Red Wolves, the Washington Monuments. Yeah, that's okay. Here's one I actually kind of like. The Washington Pigskins, because they are the Hogs. The Redskins are the Hogs, the famous offensive line. So maybe a play on that with the Pigskins. I don't know if that's going to float everyone's boat. But again, there's a lot to decide on here as their old nickname has been officially retired. You can tweet me throughout the show at Dickerson ESPN. I don't know if PETA would like the Pigskins. But trying to do something with the Hogs or football was a name that was suggested on Twitter. John Jansen is a former Redskins outside offensive lineman. He's a current Big Ten analyst. He was on Golic and Wingo this morning, and he had this to say about the fans who didn't want Washington to change their name.
The history is still going to be there. You know, you can turn the TV on and you can go back on YouTube. You can go back on a lot of different, you know, apps or devices and look at all of the glory days of Joe Gibbs, of you know, the Hogs and Russ Grimm, Joe Jacoby. And, you know, it's just that history is still going to be there. And the name, you know, and the city that you played in. I mean, that's one of the things, too, when they talk about, hey, you know, RFK, when you leave RFK and you go out and you play at FedEx Field, yeah, the history changes, but you know, in terms of the history doesn't change. It's that you do have to change moving forward. You do have to evolve. You do have to do things that are differently than in the past, but you look back and you stay, you know, the stats are still there. The wins are still there. The Super Bowl championships are still there. It's still a part of the Washington football history.
So John Jansen, former Redskins offensive lineman, also was asked on Golic and Wingo this morning on ESPN Radio, what would his suggestion be for a new name?
You know what? I don't really. I'm not a very original person, so I have.
And you can't say the Hogs either.
Oh, come on! That's where I was going. No. Absolutely,
I know you were.
Seth, somebody else had said. I heard that, and I thought, you know what? I played at Michigan, right? And there's a great tradition of offensive linemen. So when I was drafted by the Redskins, Russ Grimm was the first one I talked to. And you know, I thought, my goodness, I get to go and be another part of a great tradition of offensive linemen and the Hogs. And I thought, wow, the logo would be a bit of a tricky part. because you don't want to have a big old pig on there with a big old snout. But I thought that would be a... You know, a little nod to, you know, if everybody wants to talk about the history of the Redskins, what is the one thing that you think about when you think about the Washington football team? You think of the Hogs.
That's a great point by John Jansen on Golic and Wingo. I mean, that's what I thought of. I think the Nationals was a great name when baseball came back to D.C. I like that. I think the Washington Nationals was really slick. You can't bring back the Senators. I don't think that would work right now with the football team. So, I mean, if you're not going to go something patriotic, which you could always try to find something more patriotic, what do you think about when you think about the Redskins? I don't know about you. I'm not from D.C., but I think about big guys wearing dresses, rooting for offensive linemen. That's what I think about. That, to me, is their tradition. I mean, there's nothing lately at all that I can think of anything that gives the Redskins any sort of sizzle or pizzazz. First of all, get that stadium back in D.C., okay? Move that stadium out of where it's at right now. Get it back in D.C. Find a name that makes sense but is also fun. Those are things that I think these guys have to do. Otherwise, even though they'll change the name, the franchise itself seems like it's in a lot of disrepair. We want your thoughts on the Washington name change. What should Washington's new team name be? Plus, was LeBron wrong for not putting a social message jersey on the back of his jersey? It's First Take Your Take, ESPN Radio.